Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well and you've had a good week, and it's going to be amazing weather, isn't it? And we've had some really mixed weather, and here I am talking about the weather again. It's what we do, isn't it? We talk about the weather. There has been an awful lot going on. We have had some amazing chats in the Sober Club this week, not least because a few of our members who've been sober for a long time have kind of been feeling really quite reflective. And there was a really lovely post the other day, which I want to read you a bit of. And I just thought, wow, that really sums up what can happen. You know, I often say, be connected, stay with this stuff, stay inspired, listen to podcasts, be totally on top of this thing, even when you've been sober for years, because sometimes, just sometimes, that voice comes in your head. And this post summed it up so well, so I thought I'd read you a bit of it. I've got her permission. She's perfectly cool about it, by the way. But this Sober Club member said, I'm on a fabulous solo self-care rediscovering me trip to beautiful southern Italy. It's been funded by my booze-free life. And yesterday, from absolutely nowhere and surrounded by a bunch of lovely strangers in temperatures of 35°C, I was unexpectedly seduced by the offer of wine with lunch. The seed was planted in my head and it teased me for several hours. Who would know? Who would care? Just one wouldn't hurt, would it? You can moderate, of course you can. I played it forward and I knew that it wouldn't stop at one drink. It would be so much more. I'd have several more glasses and then I would be helpless and vulnerable to anything and everything with alcohol, as my boundaries would completely bugger off. I checked my sober app, 1,300 days. A few residual thoughts lingered. Surely 1,300 days was enough to prove to myself that I was no longer somebody who needed drink to enjoy themselves. Then I thought of Janie and all of you amazing Sober Club tribe, and particularly those I've met over the last 18 months, and the ultimate strength and connection of being here together, and how you've all touched my life in such an amazingly inspirational and incredible way. And I then knew there was no way I was taking that treacherous alcohol path of no return. The universe sent a visual reinforcement when I got back to the hotel after, in the end, a wonderful alcohol-free day. An ambulance team was at the hotel treating a man for a badly broken nose. According to other guests, he'd been getting more and more drunk as the day progressed by the hotel pool. And, sorry, it's going to be next page. And perpetuated by booze, he dived headfirst into the shallow end of the pool. Ouch, breaking his nose in several places. Today, the temperatures are predicted to reach 40°C. I am off out exploring with my rucksack packed with iced water. Never question your decision to give up booze. Alcohol-free life is amazing. Isn't that great? It's just such a fantastic representation of how this, you know, these really annoying thoughts can creep up on you after so long. That's why we have to stay connected. That's why we have to stay on top of our game. Because how would that have ended? You know, totally feeling awful about yourself, you know. I just thought it was so such a lovely post, brave of her, and just lovely to admit that. I think it was super helpful for everyone else, you know, to read that. Anyways, we have got a great guest for you today. I have known Bev Densham for so many years, and she's just queen of Pilates and angel stuff, by the way. She's got so much great stuff to share, so I thought she'd be a fabulous guest for the podcast. She's done lots of stuff for us in the Sober Club, but not been on the podcast before, so that'd be great to interview Bev. And whenever I think of Bev, because I've known her for many, many years, I always think of really nice tea. She loves her tea, and I always think of that. So anyway, in honour of Bev, I thought I would tell you about this fantastic new tea that I've come across. So I got this lovely message where Rachel said, I just wanted to send you my thanks and appreciation for your podcast. I hit my 50-day sober yesterday and I'm feeling really proud and not sure I could have done it without the support of the podcast. So down to earth and tell it how it is. And my story is like so many out there. So many times woken up, poured the remains of last night's wine down the drain only to start again the next night so that I could relax and enjoy an evening watching the latest box set and the cycle went on. Having run a pub with my husband and raising my kids in that environment, I'm not a stranger to the effects of alcohol. No, I bet. But we sold our pub about 2.5 years ago. And with COVID and the release of the business stress, I was drinking even more. We started a new business from scratch and we now blend our own teas here in Exmoor. And the business is going from strength to strength. Life seems so much brighter now. And I thought, what a lovely story. So I thought I'd tell you all about this fabulous brand. So I've gathered a bit more info. They're called Exmoor Tea and it's Rachel and Kenny McDonald, and they couldn't find teas that they wanted, basically, because, you know, when you stop drinking, you really do become a tea connoisseur. I remember Laura from Club Soda telling me that, you know, well, I think the very first time I met her, she took me to like a proper tea shop where there were so many varieties. I just didn't know where to start. Anyway, Rachel tells me about this brand, and each tea was is expertly blended and packaged in West Somerset. They've got biodegradable pyramids for the teas. So they're really lovely little kind of eye-catching cubes. And what I've been reading about Rachel is that she was fascinated by taste combinations in tea since her childhood in Pakistan. And then since moving to Exmoor, she's grown her own herbs for tisane and foraged for healing herbs on the moors of West Somerset. So this is, you've got a bit of an alchemist at work here with these teas. So anyway, I got Rachel to give us a day in cuppers. So here's the suggestions, and these are all from their teas, from Exmoor Tea. So she suggests that we start the day with their tea called Breezy Breakfast, which, as I'm sure you can imagine, is the great British breakfast cupper. You know, sometimes that's the only way you can start the day, right? And apparently it's all about rich, bold, flavoursome leaves. And she says it's down to the altitude of the growing slopes. I mean, who knew? To blend with classic Assam flavour. So she says it's breakfast tea as you know it, but with better biceps. And then there's Elevenses, and this is the gorgeous grey. Now, I'm a really big fan of Earl Grey, so I absolutely love this one. It's that sort of scent of bergamot, but they also add orange peel and cornflower, so it's a really special one. And then after lunch, Rachel says we have to try the Moorish mint. So, of course, mint, lovely for soothing the stomach. And they mix peppermint and spearmint with fennel, which, of course, is also great for the digestive system. And then they add in a hint of chocolate from the world's best kept secret, cacao shell. Again, who knew, right? And then there's Groovy Green. So if you're a fan of green tea, this is the one you want from them. Jasmine Green Tea. They found it at a family-run tea farm in China. It's layered with jasmine flower buds. And then overnight, the buds open. You can tell I'm reading this because, I mean, this is like some kind of amazing alchemy. Releasing the scent into the tea. And then come morning, the buds are removed and the process is repeated several times over. So the Groovy Green Tea is a bit of a labour of love. If you're a decaf fan, they've got the Devious Decaf. They call it the Holy Grail, a decaf that doesn't use harsh chemicals, but which does taste great, like a normal cuppa, really. And it's decaffeinated using natural CO2. So that's really, you know, as natural as you can get, isn't it, really? And then finally, time for bed. They got their chillin' chamomile, and they've blended two types of chamomile and then added lemon balm, balanced it with honey bush. And that's the really like a cousin to the better known rooibos tea. So I'm looking forward to trying that one because I don't mind a rooibos tea. So isn't that amazing? Fabulous flavours and all completely sustainable. And you've got to check it out. We're going to have a competition as well to win some. But make sure you have a look. It's exmoortea.co.uk. So as I say, when I think of fabulous tea, I often think of Bev. So enjoy the interview. I am thrilled that my guest is Beverly Densham. Bev, how are you doing?
I'm good. fantastic. It's so exciting. Thank you for having me, Janie, on the podcast.
Oh, it's great to chat to. I mean, obviously we've worked together lots and I've known you for years, and you have very kindly done some wonderful things for us in the Sober Club. So Sober Club members will know you very well. You pop up and do angel things, and you've done a Pilates thing for us and just lots of stuff for us in the Sober Club. So we hugely appreciate that. And of course, your book, we've done a piece on your book, I Talk to Angels. There it is. But yes, I thought it would be good to just chat to you properly on the podcast, and particularly because in recent years you've been doing more on your Pilates work, which of course you've been doing for years and years, but now you've really cracked it, I reckon. You've got this mindfulness Pilates mind, and it just the combination of the work that you're doing, I think, is just wonderful. So I thought it'd be great to chat about that. But anyways, before we do any of that, let's just go back a bit. Tell people a little bit about you, because you are, in fact, now I think about it, you're probably one of the only friends I had years ago who was sober. Mm. you know, all my friends drank. You were one of the few friends who didn't drink. So, you know, we'd kind of go to a cafe and I'd order my glass of wine and you'd have your cup of tea. But you didn't make a big deal of it, did you? That's the difference.
No, because nearly all, I suppose, it's still not more normal for people that they do drink alcohol and they don't still. That's still the case, I think. And so probably most of my friends and family, you know, did drink alcohol. And there's more of a minority that don't, like me. But you're friends with all your friends. Doesn't matter whether, you know, they're vegetarian or, you know.
No, but you've been sober for years, haven't you? You're ahead of us all.
Yeah, I actually don't know how long now. It's definitely over 12 years. The last time I remember having any alcohol was, I think, at a New Year with my sister and my late brother-in-law, Rob. And I remember I literally had like two sips of champagne. It was very much at a stage at that point of literally joining in purely to look like you're joining in, like, but I wasn't enjoying it, and it was purely to hold the glass up and go cheers, happy new year or whatever. So I realized I got to that point and I was like, what on earth am I actually drinking this for anymore?
But did you ever drink heavily?
Not heavily as in alcoholic heavily, but university binge drinking heavy. Yes, my first year though, I was called Fanta because I'd go out and I didn't drink any alcohol in my first year at university. And it absolutely, when I went to university, I don't know what it's like now, it was absolutely rife with alcohol, Freshers Week, you know, going out, going clubbing. Even I was into all the sporty clubs like, you know, squash and all of that and tennis and stuff. But the first year I didn't drink at all. And then I think, you know, sometimes it's partly, I mean, we do what each of us want to do, don't we? But in my second year, I joined in style. And and it did have quite a, even from then, it really did have a bit of a detrimental effect on my health. I'd get ill a lot. I'd be on all these, going to the doctors, getting antibiotics. And I'd be somebody who wouldn't be sensible and, you know, sleep more, you know, I'd be up wanting to study when really you've got a hangover and you're feeling awful and everybody else is, you know, sort of sleeping it off. And I carried that theme on sort of during my traveling years as well. And then as the years went by, different health problems and things, the more and more I realized that what on earth am I doing this more? It gave me fatigue. It made me feel exhausted. It made me feel rubbish. And I didn't actually like it. And I thought the only reason I'm actually doing it in the end is because that's what other people do at certain occasions.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I did what you say all the time on your podcast, you know, keep the ritual, change ingredients. So I'm always getting the night. I haven't got one of my lovely wine glasses or anything today, but I love a good wine glass. And these days, I you know, you can be just as bubbly and have just a good time, alcohol free.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about what sort of got you into the work that you're doing, both in terms of the angel stuff, but also the Pilates, because I read that you've
you know, it's been a colourful past, hasn't it? It's not all been plain sailing. You've had some really tough stuff to deal with. So just give us a sort of potted history of some of the lows before we get back to the highs. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's make it not too long on the potted history. It started off really well, actually, Jodie. It started off really well with a really nice childhood. I'm very blessed from that point of view. And I used to have lovely childhood holidays in Dorset, and it gradually went downhill. when I say that, I was a very shy child. The only problem I did have when I was younger was that I was very shy, and I didn't know how to express how I felt. And that kind of gradually was detrimental to me as I went along. In the primary school years, I was pretty happy and it wasn't too bad, but bullying sort of crept in a little bit in secondary school, a lot more at university, and then I had quite a nasty ex-husband and went through domestic abuse there. And really it's like these days it feels like a nightmare that didn't happen, but it really, you know, these things did happen, and it had a quite horrendous effect on my family and isolation. I mean, you probably can't believe it because we know each other so well, but I didn't see my sister Julie, who's one of my best friends as well, for over 3 years. One of my brothers, Rich, who's now died sadly, I didn't see him for 3 years.
That was because the ex was sort of keeping you isolated.
And my mum and dad for 2 years. And so there was that, and then there was a horrendous road traffic accident.
Right. Tell us about that.
Well, I was having a really good time traveling around the world. I was working and traveling around the world. I went around America and popped to Canada, Hawaiian Islands. I love Hawaii so much. The Cook Islands, bit of paradise. New Zealand. I worked in New Zealand. I worked in Australia. I traveled all around Australia. I just found it I do love traveling. And I discovered Pilates in Bondi Beach in Sydney, and I fell in love with Pilates there, but it was because of back pain and back problems. And since a child, I've been a kind of national junior squash player and very sporty person, but I ended up with quite a lot of injuries and back pain, and I went to this sports injuries clinic, and they then recommended Pilates right by the beach there. I love it there. And that really, really helped me. But then I went off traveling again, and I ended up in Cairns in northern Queensland. And I was working three jobs a day at one point, actually, as a backpacker. And I got this bike there, and this really ugly orange bicycle helmet came with the bike, which I wore every morning to go to work at like 6 a.m. And I was cycling to work, quiet roads, in the mornings at that time, not many people on the roads and stuff. Anyway, I was just cycling to work as normal, pretty bright in Australia. And a really terrible thing did happen on the way, was that I was involved in a road traffic accident where the car didn't stop at the crossroads and hit me on the bike with my, thankfully, probably saved part of what saved my life was the helmet smashing the windscreen of the car, and then my wrist shattered very badly on the bonnet, and then my back landed on the road, and it was a motionless kind of horrendous moment in life, really, which took quite a lot of an operation and quite a lot of physical and mental rehabilitation from that.
Yeah, I bet, because something like that is, you know, it's not just a case of being sort of sewn back together, is it? There's the whole trauma, you know, that comes with it, both physical and emotional trauma.
Yeah, I mean, the physical was off the scale agony, and no painkiller or morphine touched it. But to me, in my opinion anyway, and from experience from that, the mental pain, the mental emotional pain, and is a lot worse when you're going through the post-traumatic stress disorder and constant, regularly getting triggered of reliving the memory until you find a way of healing it and to stop the panic, breathing panic attacks, and the fatigue as well. It was it was quite awful, really.
So you found Pilates and you know, found just how amazing that was for you, and is that, you know, sort of really what inspired you to help others? Because, you know, ever since I've known you, when with the Pilates work you do, it's you know, it's very different to my original experience of Pilates. Was kind of, you know, rocking up to the gym and you know, just being told, you know, lift your leg another 15 times. And I just used to be looking at the clock thinking, oh, please let this end soon. You know, just so boring, so boring. But your take on it is completely different. And I know you, ever since I've known you, you've always, you know, thought of Pilates in a much more holistic way and have been able to help people with back problems. And, you know, there's a real sort of science behind what you do with Pilates.
Yeah, it's I have to say, I've been teaching over 24 years now, and at the very beginning, when after this accident and everything, I remembered how much it had helped me with my back before the accident, and I was like, some sort of spark or inspiration got me to London, got me training, got me working on my own body and mind. Obviously then trained to become a teacher, and very quickly I set up studios in Hertfordshire, which I ended up having for then 16 years. Started off with one studio and it expanded to two in the one.
And that was with the kind of machines as well, wasn't it? Yeah, what they call them, reformer machines.
Yeah,
reformer.
So mat work, reformers. Yeah. I had a big studio with like gosh, how many reformers did I have? I think about 9 reformers in there, rehab reformers, all the springs and pulleys, Joseph Pilates. Thank you, Joseph Pilates, who invented it. You know, it looks very old fashioned, but the method is, you know, and the exercise is so good, it's the equipment's still the same these days.
Well, but I was going to say, just to pause you there a minute, just describe what Pilates is, because there might be somebody who actually doesn't know what it is.
Yeah, well, I didn't either. I didn't even know how to pronounce it.
Plates.
Pilates.
Steve Wright used to say plates. You can do some plates.
Pilates. It's Pilates. Well, Pilates. Anyway, developed by the late Joseph Pilates, who's from Germany, and their first studios were actually in New York in America with his wife. But what Pilates is, it's a form of exercise. It's traditionally a mind-body exercise, and it helps you with, well, there are 8 principles that helps you with your core stability, your back strengthening, your overall strengthening, your alignment, your good posture. The first 2 principles are breathing and relaxation. The more you do, of course, the more stamina you get. It's absolutely incredible for the deep abdominals as well as all the abdominals. And you get a chance to really stretch out. But there's kind of much more to it than that. That's the kind of body bit. It's very mindful. I mean, most people... It's very mindful with Pilates because there's so much to think about that you've got to concentrate so much that it puts you in the moment, and it's very difficult to be thinking about other things when you're doing your Pilates. And then obviously, as you say, my style of it, mindfulness Pilates, is it's about taking people into the moment even more. Yes, I sort of my expertise is background sports science degree and taught forever. Prolapse discs, back pain, back problems, sciatica, all of that sort of thing. But what I add in as well as extras is the meditation, the mindset, the positive affirmations, my decks and cards and stuff, goal setting, visualization about mental rehearsal, which I learned in my sports psychology sort of sports science days and used it ever since. So somebody might be, one of my clients would be in a stretch, and I'll have them get them in the position, get the correct alignment. Which you can still do at my mindfulness Pilates Zoom studio. So they're in a good position, they're breathing, they're into the stretch, and then getting them to daydream and concentrate on and visualize a goal. It might be a personal goal or a work goal, and 1-minute journaling as well. So it's like a whole holistic personal development experience, as well as getting all the usual body benefits, which then makes it quite exciting. And then, as you say, the science side, I'm obviously very intuitive and inspired, but I add in a bit, if I see some research which is going to help my clients with their, you know, happiness, with their confidence, with their success personally, professionally, then I will add that in. Like before I came to see on the podcast, I was doing certain movements which is called the power pose, hands on hips, hands at the side of the neck, arms in the air, adding in affirmations into that, sometimes making stuff up, which has got research behind it, which is going to add in added benefits to my clients and their results that they get from it.
Yeah. And of course, this kind of thing is just wonderful for people when they first stop drinking. Well, obviously at any time, but you know, often when you first stop drinking, you know, you do feel all over the place, and you know, it can be very hard to kind of ground yourself. You also don't often have very much of a sense of who you are anymore, and you know, and we really do need things in those early weeks that sort of center us and kind of bring us back to some kind of peace, even if it's only for a little while. And I love the fact that, you know, as you say, what you can get from the kind of work you do is yes, some beneficial movement for your body, but also to be able to focus on a goal, to visualize yourself, you know, rocking it sober, which a lot of people can't do at the beginning. They find it really, really hard to know how will they cope. It can be one of the biggest things for people in the early days. It's like, well, who am I going to be now that I don't have that crutch of alcohol? Now I'm not the party girl. Who will I be? You know, and I love the fact that we can actually do this in as you say, in visualization. We can actually use visualization and do it at the same time as we're exercising, in inverted commas. I really like the fact that we're able to wrap these things together.
Yeah, and that, you know, there's so many angles to it that I think is really important. And I think a lot of people I teach, they're like, oh wow, I don't just have to sit there or lie there, although you can do that, which is also very powerful. Obviously physical and plus mental rehearsal is the most powerful result. If somebody's injured or something, then obviously, you know, mental rehearsal is the next best thing. But yeah, I mean, affirmations and our thought patterns, you know, there's so many things to address. And I think when you work in this way, it's very powerful. Like affirmations, sometimes affirmations, yes, if you're stressed and you're anxious, or let alone in a panic attack level mode, breathing and affirmations, you can bring yourself to be, you know, I am calm again by doing a bit of breathing and calming yourself down, or doing some mindfulness Pilates, or if you're feeling miserable or low, doing some, you know, Pilates will definitely always, what I've seen, lift the mood. And you can also, like, if you have weaknesses in the body, most people, if they're not doing it regularly, will have weaknesses. So there could be weaknesses in the core stability, in the abdominal area, weaknesses in the back muscles, for example. Anyone I've ever seen with a back problem has always got weak back muscles going on, but they might still have been trying to do their running, trying to go to the gym, or trying to do their favorite thing, but they keep getting re-injured and back at the physio and whatever, because there's muscle imbalances and there's weaknesses in the muscles. So with the affirmations, it's powerful because your mind won't battle with an affirmation if you're physically doing something about it. So if you're doing your back strengthening exercise, you're doing your core stability exercise, great, and you then also say to yourself, my back muscles are getting stronger, they are getting stronger because you are doing something about it. And then your mind can really, like, accept, oh my god, I've gone, you know, I'm being very proactive here. And you can do that, and I kind of infuse that into anything. So, you know, encouraging, you know, you to think about, oh, perhaps I'll do a 6-minute morning routine. I get my clients to do a 6-minute morning routine, and then take a little 30, you know, set an alarm every 15 minutes or half hour, or at the most an hour, you know, when you're working at the computer, to get up and move and have a little walk, or take a stretch break, take a little breathe, 30-second break, and incorporate it all into your lifestyle. How do you think
about it? I like the fact you make it workable in our everyday life, definitely.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a bit more about this? Because, you know, it's something that I think is really, really important. This the way we set intentions, if you like, and the way we use language. You know that I won't allow anyone to say I'm giving up alcohol, because we're not giving anything up, we're only gaining, you know. And how you use language is really important, and what you say is really important. And you're absolutely right, when we can say, you know, I feel calm, I am, my back is getting stronger, or whatever the phrases are, it your unconscious mind hears that, and that's going to be so much more powerful than what most of us do, unless we focus on it, which is just, oh crap, I feel like shit, you know, and oh my god, I'm never going to be able to you know, do this. We catastrophize. And actually what we're really doing is sort of reinforcing the negative when we do that. So being able to be mindful about the language we use, I think is massively helpful. Are you also, do you also believe some of the kind of meta medicine stuff? I mean, it's too big a topic to get into fully, but do you also take on board, you know, that kind of meta medicine principle, you know, it at its most simplistic, Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life book, for example, where she would say that back pain is almost always linked to not being supported?
I would say it's a combination from experience, because I think I love you, Louise Hay. I mean, thanks to you, I discovered Hay House and Louise Hay, and her work is absolutely incredible. And anytime there is a problem or dis-ease in my little family, I grab her, you know, You Can Heal Your Life book. And I do think there's absolutely tons of, I think it's very spot on, and I think it's really important work. But at the same time, there can be have been an accident.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of could be injury.
All of those things. But also there can be structural damage. There can be some very big changes that have happened. And I think you have to take those seriously. So I do always take diagnoses very seriously, whether that's, you know, somebody who's had a hip replacement. I have to say they always tend to go very well. Once I've seen over the years, knee replacements that I teach. Clients, discectomy clients, a preventive bone back operation. But what I'm saying with this is, for me as a teacher, there's a formula with those sorts of clients, and it's a you've got to combine both. You've got to combine the body bit. They've got to do, you can't just think it all well, because our body, we have a body and we've got to strengthen the body. You've got to have a strong body, you've got to have a strong mind, you've got to work on the whole thing. So I think the combination of the two is magic, and that is what I teach.
I love the fact that you know as you say, you know, if you've broken your arm, you know, no amount of prayer and homeopathy is going to sew it back on, right? You know, we absolutely do need that regular, in inverted commas, approach, but as you say, the combination can really make a difference. That so talking, you know, woo if you like, you know, tell us about what happened for you when you had your sort of spiritual awakening and you decided to do the angel work that you do.
So I was really blessed after the breakup of my marriage, and I'd called the police and social services had taken us away from the family home when my son was three at the time. And afterwards, I was very blessed that my family, you know, welcomed me back with open arms. The love was still there. The relationships were obviously a bit battered, took time to mend those. But I was very blessed that I was invited on this pamper day with my sister and my mum, and I had absolutely no idea that within this sort of more traditional pamper day, there was going to be an angel card reading. And this angel card reading was absolutely transformational for me. I've never heard of angel cards or angel card readings, actually. And so it's all very exciting. And I found it really, really helpful. And I bought my first ever deck of cards. It wasn't my deck, obviously. I got my deck of cards, and I found them a real support, a real, a very positive tool. Obviously, I've created angel and positive affirmation cards since, but I found it very healing, actually, as well. Very, very healing. And over time, I ended up, I mean, I didn't even think anything more of my favorite song is Robbie Williams, you know, Angels. But after that, it really helped my healing tremendously. I flew to Hawaii, trained as an angel therapy practitioner. And, you know, after a while, I had my first feather moment. And I realized that angels were talking to me way before I realized they were talking to me. And they sort of float words into my head. So it's not it's more of a typewriter in the head popping into my head words conversation, as opposed to like we're having a two-way conversation here. And I realized that angel healing and angel card readings were incredible, and getting to know my guardian angel. And I actually discovered my mum bought me this beautiful feather necklace to say, you know, to say I believe in you with my book, I Talk to Angels, and had a lovely little angel note in it. And it was very, very special writing, I Talk to Angels at the beach in Dorset. And it was just, yeah, it's, I know it sounds a bit strange, but it's my favourite self-help book for myself. And I've created this that other people can colour in and journal and get to know their guardian angel. And it's been a very special journey. And really, to be honest, these days, the angels are just part of my life. It's just a normal everyday thing. It's not something that's like, oh, I'm now going to go and do my spiritual thing. It's just, you know, I sit next to angel wing mirrors and that's all quite normal.
So I mean, but as you say, what's great is you're also very realistic, you know, so you will absolutely, you know, do a class for people with back pain on Pilates and you know, and even the angel work that you do, you do make it realistic for people who you know, may not be as far down the line in terms of woo-woo as we are. But anybody can kind of dip their toe in this water, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. If you end up on a pamper day like me and it's something that resonates with you, then you know, it's one of those things you follow your what feels good for you, basically. And you know, the nice thing about angel cards and things like that, as opposed to something more like tarot, is that they're always positive and uplifting and healing, and you can't really go wrong with it. You just give your cards a shuffle, pick a card kind of thing, and it just enhances your life. Yes, some people end up talking, you know, properly. When I say properly, you can get a proper message from an angel card. But, you know, some people go deeper and deeper with it and end up doing some work with it like I have. But to be honest, I find it's very exciting that you can do it at an everyday level. But an everyday level is very profound because, I mean, I pick a page, my book's really quite battered now and much loved, and it's coloured in and there's writing everywhere in my copy, you know, and that's what somebody, it can be like a lovely little companion having, you know, a lovely little tool like this on somebody's journey, because life is like the waves of the sea. There are good, challenging and sad times of life. And to have these little tools that, like, actually, you know, I am drawn to that, you know, and that is going to help me. And, you know, pick a page a day or pick a exercise or meditation or whatever that you feel would help you that day. But you can also do it in a mainstream way as well, whether you're into angels or not, although I suppose somebody wouldn't necessarily pick it up if they're not into angel wings and angels. But you can use it in a very much self-help way, because the tips and tools are as effective whether I think, you know, in both ways, whether you want to connect more with angels or whether you just want to have a nice tip of the day and a meditation or exercise or tool that might help you that day.
And where do you think that you know, the sobriety piece fits into all of this? I mean, for you, it's just part of who you are and has been for 12 years, of course. But you know, I find that I now realize that when I was drinking, that despite, you know, all the work that I did, you know, as a Hay House author and interviewing people and all the rest of it, I couldn't really properly connect spiritually because I was drinking. I really believe that. I really believe that there was a layer of consciousness almost. I don't quite know how to describe it. I mean, I had a conversation with Carl Gray,
that's a great one,
who said the same thing, you know. That alcohol, there's no doubt about it, there's a reason why they're called spirits. Alcohol is a real block, I think, when it comes to connecting spiritually.
Well, it's an interesting one, because of course I wouldn't have said I was spiritual until post becoming sober. So I would say becoming a deeply spiritual person didn't come till after. So I don't think I was very spiritual before, until I hit a rock bottom and pulled myself together. So I think obviously the more healthy you are, I mean, let's face it, the truth of the matter is in life, the more healthy you are, the more clear everything is.
Of course.
And, you know, I mean, you sent a great newsletter the other day, you know, sharing one of your Sober Club success stories, and she was going off to some lovely festival and there she was, and she was sober and she was up running in the morning and all of this. And, you know, that you can be just so, you can just feel really happy and fantastic. Having a different glass and a different concept of the glass in the hand, and you know, having a morning routine every day like I do and like I teach my clients, with all these amazing things, and as well as plus lovely nature and walks and all that stuff. And you know, life,
it comes back to self-care, doesn't it, really?
Yeah,
and taking care of yourself, you know, and doing those little things, noticing those little things. Again, I think when you're drinking, it's very hard to do that. Very, very hard to notice little things, and very hard to practice self-care when you're drinking. You think you are, you know, I used to think I was being looking after myself by having a large glass of wine. That was my treat, or so I thought. Yeah. But in so doing, I missed out on actually on the little things, you know, and I absolutely was not practicing self-care. So I think when that's when things change, when you stop drinking, when you start to have a little bit more care and attention and respect for yourself, which can take a little while, but when that can happen and you can start to take care of yourself, as you say, then we can start to bring in some of these little things. You know, okay, what will it be like to open up a book and see if there's a tip for the day, choose an angel card, go for a lovely walk, do a bit of journaling, lie down, do a bit of a meditation. All of those things start to feel possible and are amazing for actually just making a difference in your life. I've seen it happen with so many people. That's why it's been so lovely to have you pop up in the Sober Club. There's been Sober Club members who have said, somebody did a lovely post and said, well, you know, if you'd told me 3 years ago that I'd be, you know, sober, I'd be joining in a session on angel cards, you know, so I never would have believed it. But you know, we can be open to all of this stuff, I think, once we've removed some of those blocks.
Yeah, I mean, if I think about, like, look back to traveling around the world, and then I would drink alcohol on and off throughout the whole journey. I mean, how much better would it have been if I now did that trip again?
Yeah,
I mean, going to Hawaii or
you'd remember more of it.
I mean, Hawaii, for some reason, I think I was very awake there. It's a pretty incredible place, the Big Island in particular. But I'd have been so much more grateful and present to the whole thing. And I wouldn't have got ill at times, I don't believe. So
yeah, the gratitude piece is everything, isn't it? Really, really is.
It makes you so much more grateful. I mean, people say, oh, I'm going on holiday, this and that. And I'm just like, well, I've moved to the sea. I've moved to the most beautiful place in the world. And it's like, I don't have to go on holiday. I'm actually going on holiday in Dorset with my mum and dad and sister in August. And it's like, well, that to me is, I used to pay to come on holiday here and now I live here. So, you know, I think you become a lot more grateful, a lot more grateful.
Mm. Brilliant. So Bev, just tell us where we can find you then. What is the best place to connect with the work that you do, and obviously get a copy of the book and have a look at your Pilates work and the stuff that you do with angels?
So I'm at beverlydensham.com, and that is where you can find me, and everywhere on social media is also Beverly Densham. And the card I picked for today for everyone on the podcast from the Happy and Calm card is Be Yourself, a lovely little affirmation for everyone.
Nice, because everyone else is taken, right? Brilliant. Bev, thank you so much. It's lovely to chat to you, and I hope I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bev. We'll put those links in the show notes, and also the link again to the Exmoor tea. And as soon as we've got our competition up and running, we'll put some info in there as well, so you can enter to try and win some. There's a bunch of competitions on my other site, my imperfectlynatural.com site. So make sure you check it out. You can chance to win skincare and all sorts of lovely things. Because at the moment, my platinum awards are happening. And so I've got really fabulous brands kind of contacting me, and I've got some great opportunities to offer competitions, so why not? And also want to remind you, of course I do, about Family Constellations. It is Sunday, 17th of July. It's in Hertfordshire. If you've been hearing me mention this and you've been thinking, oh, I keep thinking about this, I'm just not sure, then just have a look at the info. Go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, have a look at the info and see if you can make it. I don't think you'll regret it, honestly. It's a really unique, unusual experience. It's not expensive because it's potentially life-changing, honest. It really is a good day. It'd be great to have a few more people come to that. It's just wonderful. Connection as well, and you usually leave feeling so much more open-hearted, more compassionate. It's so difficult to explain this work, but so worth it. And you know, if you're interested but you just want to ask a few questions, then just get in touch. It's absolutely fine. You know where to find me, at Janie Lee Grace. So just go to thesoberclub.com/events and find the Family Constellations Day. There's also a new Sober by the Sea date, which is 20th of August, so there's a few places left on that. It'd be great to see you for that as well. And of course, as I've mentioned a couple of times, I know it's not for everyone, but if you are a coach or a therapist, or you would like some deeper transformation for yourself, then I am running another Sober Coach training program. September 30th, October the 1st are the in-person days. That's if you are in the UK, of course, followed by online stuff and becoming part of our ongoing family, really, because the support is absolutely ongoing. Again, just message me if you want more information about that, because of course not everyone does. I'd like to say a huge thank you to everyone who listens to this podcast. Honestly, I don't know if I say it often enough. I'm so grateful to you for messaging me, for reviewing the podcast, for sharing the podcast, and just for being listeners and making it really worth me just, you know, getting good guests and really worth me doing this every week, because, you know, I love doing it. It is a labour of love. But it's worth it, because, you know, I get lovely messages from people who say, do you know what, my Friday nights are kind of sorted now, because I, you know, I get my essential oils, or I have a shower, or I get my favourite book, or I light a candle, or I have my lovely tea, my Exmoor tea, and I listen to your podcast and I really look forward to it, and it keeps me on track, keeps me inspired, keeps me connected. And that's what it's all about, really, isn't it? That connection. So you know where to find us, thesoberclub.com. Always, always, always reach out if you're struggling in any way. Always reach out. There's always help available. Reach out to us in the Sober Club and we will love bomb you, I promise. See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.